desire and interest in your prayers. Don't have a speech to recite to you today, but have a burden on my heart. I ask that you would use a little bit of imagination with my penmanship there. The idea is that I would be able to portray two different ends. When we read stories as maybe small children, you've read some fairy tales that ended in, and they live happily ever after the end. And maybe as a adolescent and a young adult, you have read a book that you enjoyed the theme and the plot, and maybe it was an upbuilding book as far as character. Maybe it had some courage displayed, and when you get to the end of the book, it's very satisfying. I like books that have a good ending. There's authors out there that have capitalized on people's emotions and have ended books where the expected end didn't happen. Just kind of leave you hanging or something. So there's different ways that books end, and I don't recommend, nor have I ever enjoyed reading a book that leaves me with nightmares or something like that. But there are a lot of material out there that you can read that is has harsh endings and has things that are that's troubling to your mind and can cause you to feel disturbed and distressed. I worked with a man a number of years ago that used to play a prank on another coworker that he had. This third person would bring a book to work, and when he had spare time, he would read his book at work. So this coworker that I knew would catch him when he was away from his work area and find his book in his toolbox and take a box knife or something and cut out the last page. And he had a whole stack of last pages in his toolbox. You know, that was kind of a mean trick. I mean, none of us would like to read the book and anticipate an ending that was satisfying and maybe conclude something and then get there and the last page is gone. And it's, how did this story really end? I always thought that was a pretty mean trick. And I want to say also that books that I've read, if you get to the end of the book and you wish the author would have written another book to keep the storyline going, that's usually the kind of book I like to read. I like something that gives me this feeling of that was a wholesome story. That's something that was uplifting. I want to talk to us today with the help of the Lord about the end. That's where we're all headed. One of these days it's going to be the end. There's not going to be anything more to this temporal life here. So I'd like to begin looking in Psalms, the 37th Psalm. Begin looking here, it says in the 37th verse, "Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace." The end of that man is peace. Many of us are getting to the age that we start thinking much more about the end. 30 years ago, those of you that's in my age bracket, we didn't think near as much about the end as we do now. Today we're thinking about the end of maybe our employment or even the end of our life. We look around at maybe our parents or the older ones that's a generation or so ahead of us, and we're concerned about how their end is going to be. This verse says that the end of the perfect man, the one that's upright, is going to be, the end of that man is peace. But the next verse says, the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. So I want us to realize as we approach this thought today that there's not always the same end to every life. But I want us to recognize that the end is inevitable. We can't escape that. There is an end that's coming. In Numbers, we notice that there is a passage here. It's some words of old Balaam. But if we go over there and read what Balaam was saying to Balak, 23rd chapter of Numbers, and beginning in maybe the 8th verse, he says, how shall I curse whom God hath not cursed? Or how shall I defy whom the Lord hath not defied? For from the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him. Lo, the people shall dwell alone, and shall not be reckoned among the nations. Who can count the dust of Jacob, and the number of the fourth part of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his. This wasn't what Balak wanted to hear, but it was the words of God. It's the words that God told him to tell. And I want you to know today that it's my objective in life to die the death of the righteous. That's the end that I want. But the end hasn't happened yet. I don't know how much time I have, but I know the end is coming. It's coming for me. It's coming for every one of us here. If we turn to 2 Timothy, the second chapter, so notice the scripture here in the New Testament. Second Timothy 2, and beginning in verse 8, it says, remember that Jesus Christ, the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain salvation, which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. We have the opportunity today to choose the type of end that we're going to have. We have the opportunity to choose to reign with him, or we have the opportunity to allow our life to go towards an end, or that he will deny us and he won't recognize us and he won't accept us in eternity. In Jeremiah, the 29th chapter and 11th verse, he says that he knows his thoughts toward us. He says, for I know the thoughts that I have toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. None of us here, I'm telling you that I don't like someone to cut the last page out of the book. And I'm telling you that I would say all of us here would like to be able to have the right to read the last page in the book you're reading. To be going along in life and have the end taken away from us seems unfair. And we see some that have passed on. We feel prematurely sometimes, but I'm thankful for the testimonies that we heard this morning of those that have gone on. And I want us to realize that the end is not something that just comes after a certain number of years. And we know that. Our end may come at any time. I don't consider myself old, but I recognize that an end could come for me. And I want to be able to have the expected end. I told you that my objective is to die the death of the righteous. And I trust everyone here. I trust your objective. I hope your goal and your purpose is that your end would be the death of the righteous. But the thing that we have to be aware of is the end hasn't happened yet this morning. So there is an opportunity here to choose one end or the other. And may the Lord impress on us to make the preparations for our expected end. If you have things that's unexpected happen to you, it's a disappointment. And most generally, we can recover from unexpected events in life. We can recover from maybe disasters at home, and whether something breaks in our machinery or something, we can recover from those. Those are unexpected things. But I don't want to have an end that's not what I expected to have. I don't want to be foolish in my preparation for the end. Jeremiah says that God's thought towards us is good. He has an expected end. God wants us to be successful in the end. I'd like to turn to Matthew, the 28th chapter, and notice the 20th verse. Jesus says here, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. This world has an end, not just me, and not just you, but everything about us is going to come to an end. This world as we know it is coming to an end. And Jesus has promised to be with us until the end, to give us the expected end that God has, His thoughts toward us, to give us the end that He would like for us to have. But life doesn't always seems so straightforward, and there's a lot of things that can derail us along the way. So I'd like to turn to Psalms, the 73rd Psalm, and begin reading here. It says, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are a clean heart. I'd like to say that I believe we recognize that God is good to every one of us here today. And I'm thankful for the Lord's blessings. He says, even such as are of a clean heart. And I believe we have a good representation of folks with a clean heart here today. I'm glad to be in your presence. But it says, but as for me, the writer here says, my feet were almost gone. My steps were well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there was no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They're not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain, violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness, and have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly. Concerning oppression they speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither in waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know? Is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I'll speak thus, behold, I should offend against a generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. We, It's so easy for us in the day that we live in to begin to look around and see all of the fulfillment that's around us through sinful indulgences and appetites and through sinful inclinations and those things that would lead us astray and forget about the end. It's so easy for us to look around and consider all of the opportunities for financial fulfillment, for personal fulfillment of all different sizes, shapes, and kinds, and lose sight of the end. The writer here says that his feet had well nigh slipped, had come to the place that he was on a slippery, treacherous place, a situation where he wasn't stable any longer. And recognizing that he was being influenced by the things that were around him, when he looked around and seen that those that were following other paths that ultimately would lead to a different end, but he's seen them following paths and there didn't seem to be any consequences. And in fact, they seemed to be prospering and seemed to be doing well in that venture, in that direction. It's easy for us to go from this place and go from settings like this when maybe the Lord has spoken to your heart and we have purposed and maybe made commitments and maybe we've come to an altar of prayer and recognized that we needed to move up and we needed to clean some things out of our life and we needed to change an attitude and a disposition of our heart. It's easy for us to have been in this place, and then when we step away from there, here, and we go out into our everyday world to recognize that, hey, they're doing just fine. And the end has not happened. And I'm a young person. And I'm healthy. I feel like that I'm healthy. And I'm not young, but I feel healthy. So there's a lot of things that's out there that I can engage in and lose sight of the end. But the end is coming, see? The end is coming. I don't know when the end is going to be, but it behooves us to pay attention to what the writer says here. The writer says that he got distracted by everything that was coming and going around him, the things that would cause him to be enticed to go down a path of whatever it is that would lead him away from the Lord. And then notice what the next verse says. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end. So if you're here today and you've been distracted by the temptations and the vices of the enemy, I'm glad you're here. This is a place where I believe the Lord would like to speak to all of our hearts today. This is a place where there are others that will come and pray with you in an altar of prayer. And this is a place that you can get a real vision of what the end is going to be like. So I would like, as we continue our little thought, I'd like for us all to consider, if you keep going the direction and the pace and that you're going right now, what's your end going to be? If nothing changes, but if you don't get any worse or any better, if you just continue on the course that you're on right now, what will your end be? You know, I was talking to my wife last night, and she had been away from home and had started back towards the house. And realized that she had left her cell phone. She didn't have it. So she was several miles away from where she had been on the way to the to our house. But she realized that, you know, there's somebody who might try to call me. We don't hardly live without those things anymore. And actually, I was talking to her on the cell phone when I talked to her. So she says, I realized that it was shorter to go back than to go on home and then go back. So she said, I just turned around and went back and picked up the cell phone that she had left. So one of the objectives today is that we would invite the Spirit of the Lord to cause this to be a sanctuary here, where that you can be in an environment where you can realize, I've been distracted, I'm off the course to get the expected end that God would like to give us all. And today is the day. We're at the end of this meeting. No, it's not the end. There's another service or so. But we're coming very, very close to the end of this meeting. But there's still an opportunity. There's still the environment of those that are concerned about the end that we would all have. So I'm asking us here today, consider the path you're on, the direction you're headed, the speed that you're headed on that course. Where's your end going to be? Let's just think about that. I'd like for us to turn maybe to 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter. And notice what it says, beginning in the 3rd verse. So as knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust. We could all scoff about the end. I've got time, I've got health, I've got resources, and I know people that have lots of money that are able to keep their old bodies actually going pretty well with the modern medical assistance. Knowing this, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. I'm just as healthy, I'm just as strong, I'm just as capable as I ever was, someone might say. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. This tells us that the end of the world is not going to be by water. It's going to be by fire. It says here, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day. And the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. He hasn't forgot that he promised that there would be an end, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. You remember what his mind was towards the people? His mind was that they could have an expected end. The reason that we come here on a day like this and a time like this is so that we can have an expected end. An end that you want. Not an end that you don't want. It would be very absurd for me today to think that anyone here wants to spend eternity in anguish and in torment. And in a place where there is no peace and no safety and no comfort. We heard yesterday afternoon of how comforting and reassuring that heaven will be. And I think all of us here would like to go there. But to think about that might be what you want. You think you want. But are we making plans to get there? If we keep going the way we're going, is that going to be the expected end? He says he's not willing that any should perish. That's why he has prolonged the end. That's why he hasn't brought the fire. He says, but that all should come to repentance. Today is a day that you can still repent. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which that the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that are therein, shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? It behooves us today to pay attention to the writer in Psalms that says he got to looking around and considering all the things that was happened, and his feet had well nigh slipped until he considered their end. And it pays us today to consider what the end is going to be. He says, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. A new heavens, not the sky and the stars that we see above us, and not the dirt that we plant our flowers in, and not this mortal body that's the earth, but a new heaven, a spiritual heaven, and a new earth, a new identity that will endure eternity. You know that Jesus received a glorified body, and I don't know what a humanity's translation is going to be, and what it, but I'm going to know, I know this, this old carcass won't hold up through eternity. But the Lord's willing to give us something that will. He'll give us something that'll last through eternity, and it's going to be a wonderful thing. But on the other hand, there's another end. And you know what you get to spend in eternity if you go to the other end is going to last too. It's going to be a long, long time without an end. See, this life has an end, but eternity doesn't have an end. And if we keep going and we get the end that God is not designed for us, we're still going to have the ability to feel the anguish and feel the pain and feel the disappointment and the rejection, and to be able to realize that I could have had another end, but I didn't listen to the Spirit's call. I didn't respond to the word of the Lord, and now I'm left with this end. I'd like to turn maybe to Revelations, the 20th chapter. It says, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up, and set a seal upon him that he shall deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed a little season. We're talking about a period of time that had a beginning and it had an end. And he says here, and I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. We've all heard the prayer request. Some of us heard the message the other day, and the statement was made that we live in a post-Christian United States. You hear that? Remember hearing that? You know what that means? That people around us in our society are recognizing, they're accepting, they're promoting, however you want to say it, that Christianity is not the prevailing belief system in our United States. I believe Satan has been turned loose. You know, that old dragon, that old paganistic thing that has been bound for a long period of time, It's resurfacing all around us. There's things that's happening that's very alarming in our society today, not just in our nation, but across the world. Paganism is on an upswing. There's a fascination with things that are symbolic to pagan worship in the education system and other places. The eighth verse says, "And this Satan shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth." The four quarters of the earth, I believe that's the whole thing, isn't it? Three quarters is just 75%, but four quarters is the whole thing. "And he shall go out to deceive the nations who are in the four quarters of the earth," of the whole earth, "Gog and Magog together to battle, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is in the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about in the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever." It's a long time. This is one of the events that will happen at the end. "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, in whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them." We heard in this meeting about the majesty and the wonders of the creation of God. And it is a majestic creation, but it cannot stand in the presence of God himself. It's going to melt away, and only God will be there. "And he says, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of these things, which are written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to his works." See, there's a reckoning day at the end. "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death at the end, see. "And whosoever was not written, found written in the book of life, was cast into the lake of fire." An end, see. Is the course that you're on today, will it get you to the expected end? Or will it get you to an unexpected end? Maybe you come from a background of having good, solid parents, being in service, having good instruction on moral things and instructions about godly things and how to be modest and how to live a godly life in this present world. And maybe you've got off track. But I want you to know today that there's an end coming. There's an end to young people sometimes, and all of us that get up into age are going to come to an end. But even over and above that, the thing that can supersede it all is if God brings an end to the world that we're in. And I want to tell you, the 20th chapter begins with John seeing a vision and ending with the end of time. And I want us to be aware that when the end comes, that we can be prepared to have the expected end. The 21st chapter begins like this. "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth." A spiritual heaven and a earth that can inhabit that. A form of what you are today that can inhabit that. "For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I saw John, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." I believe this is the church. "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all their tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. So I know this is talking about after the end of time. Well, as long as we're here on this side of eternity, we're going to have to deal with death. But this says there shall be no more death. So I believe it's talking about an eternal heaven, an eternal time with God. He says, no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. The end has happened, see. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end of time, the end of the world, the end of life for me as an individual, but the end of time and life for even humanity. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. See, this is one of the ends. You'll be able to drink of the water of life freely if you choose this end. This is the expected end. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. That's the kind of end I want. That's the end of the end that the death of the righteous will take us to. But notice what the other, see, there's another end. I don't know if you can tell by looking at my attempt to write this, but, you know, I would venture to say that you wouldn't jump to the conclusion that the end on the top was at the end of a horror story, would you? I would think that that would be the kind of end that you might see in a real happy little book. But the one on the bottom sounds pretty harsh, doesn't it? Doesn't it give you the impression that it's pretty cold and it's cut and dried? Yes. And notice what the next verse says. But the fearful and unbelieving. Unbelieving in what? Unbelieving that there's an end like this, maybe. Yes. Unbelieving that the end is really close for you. He says, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and the idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, who all was in this lake that burneth with fire and brimstone? The other verses told us, the devil that delivered them was cast into the lake of fire, or that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever. You may feel that you're tormented with temptations and possibilities and probabilities to choose a path that goes away from the expected end. And you may feel like you're in the place where the psalmist wrote that his feet were well nigh slipped. I want to tell you, there's an end coming. And wherever we are today, whether we are diligently preparing for the end, or whether we're recklessly going along in life and not being diligent about our experience with the Lord, or whether you've just thrown it all away and you don't believe that there is such a thing as an end, I want to tell you, on the authority of the Word of God, I'm telling you, there's an end coming. There's an end coming for me, and there's an end coming for you. And it might even happen that the end of the world comes before that. But there's an end coming. May the Lord help us. Let's turn to 1 Peter, the 4th chapter. First Peter 4, begin reading in verse 1. It says, for as much then as Christ had suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wines, reveling, banqueting, and abominable idolatries. All of these things are things that are around us today and will cause us to leave the path that will take us to an expected end. He says, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of right, speaking evil of you. If you're endeavoring to be sincere and maintain your integrity with the Lord, we have all had somebody say something critical about you. One brother was talking to me the other evening after service, and he told me his co-workers call him Reverend. It's a snide remark, see? They're trying to poke a little fun and get under his skin a little bit. And it's those things, and plus you see the prosperity of the wicked, many times it causes people's feet to just almost slip. But there's still an end coming. He says, who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? Who's going to be able to give an answer? He says, for this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to the men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. There's people that's gone on that's heard this gospel and they've already come to the end. But we haven't got there yet. It may come today. For me, and it may come today for you, and it may come today for the whole world. I don't know. But I want you to know that I want to have the expected end, the end that God expects to give mankind, the one that he designed men to be able to inhabit eternity with. He says, but the end of all things is at hand. This is an old verse. It's been around a long time. But we've heard this statement. We know that the end is closer now than it ever was. Oh, the end. How far is it out there? I'm going to tell you, if we don't plan for the end, we'll get an end that we didn't plan for. If we don't plan for the end, there'll be something that'll be unexpected that we'll see when we get there. He says, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch under prayer. It's important for us today to be sober and to think about the end. The end is coming, see. It's going to be here before we know it. Ezekiel prophesied to the Jewish people about the end of Jerusalem, the destruction there. Jesus prophesied about an end to the Jerusalem that the people knew in his day. And today, God's ministry is telling us that there's an end coming. There's an end coming to this old world, and there's an end coming for us individually. I'd like to turn to Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter. Notice the 13th verse, I believe. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Let's hear the conclusion, the end of the whole thing. The end of the whole, the thing that we need to focus on more than anything else is fear God and keep his commandments. And don't deviate from that. For this is the whole duty of man. You want to be able to have the expected end and receive the thoughts that he has towards us. We're going to have keep his commandments. For God shall bring every work into judgment and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Thought about maybe reading the 4th chapter of Hebrews, but maybe I won't for time. Trust the Lord to speak to our hearts today about the end. I'd like for us to stand and sing number 423. This song asks us a question. Today we have an opportunity to do something with Jesus. But there's coming a time at the end that that won't be the question. The question will be, what is Jesus going to do with you? Is he going to say, depart from me, I never knew you? So maybe we could stand and sing number 423.